Week two is done. Week three is now upon us. This is season 8, episode 29 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters, celebrating 40 years. And on the 4th of each month, Hooters celebrates with throwback events featuring 83-cent wings and other great specials. Remember, not just on the 4th of each month, but they have $6 drinks all day, every day, thanks to Hooters for their continued sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email is wright.todd@yahoo.com. Last week, I jumped the gun before the Monday night game, but there was only one Monday night game. So this week I waited, since there were two Monday night games to end week two. There are two Monday night games to end week three, so probably do the same thing next week, but we'll get you one more later this week. Looking ahead to at least the Sunday-Monday games, perhaps have to ignore the Thursday night game, which this week is Niners-Giants. So there aren't going to be a lot of Giants in that picture because of the injury to Saquon Barkley, and the normal Niners you would play, you would be playing pending the injury status of Brandon Ayuk. Keep checking that. First thing I want to do is mention and compliment winners in my three leagues, and then look at who they played, and it gives me talking points before we go into some other elements of what happened in week two. So from the Foundation League, there are just 2 of 10 who are undefeated. It is head-to-head play in the Foundation League, and the two undefeated are myself. I've been very fortunate with a starting lineup comprised of Joe Burrow gave me enough, and I had stacked him with T. Higgins, so the fact that he threw his 2 touchdowns to Higgins was a big deal. Didn't like seeing Amon-Ra go out of the game, but hope he's okay for week three. McCaffrey had a big game. Gibbs, obviously, will get more touches now that Montgomery is out in Detroit for at least, 2 to 3 weeks. And then Ayuk, my main starters there. Carlson's been a disappointing kicker through 2 weeks. So that helps me get to 3-0 for Dr. Reeder, who is a two-time defending champion, a professor of geosciences at the University of South Florida, who is also my surrogate drafter for Andrew DeWitt, gambling editor of The Athletic, who is playing in one of the podcast leagues. Dr. Reeder is the other 2-0 team, and his week two starting lineup was Justin Herbert, getting him 20-plus points. Tyreek Hill, double digits. George Pickens getting him nearly 20 points. Derrick Henry getting it done, 15 and a half. Isaiah Pacheco, a 12-touch game for 70 yards. Debo gets in the end zone with what was essentially a rushing touchdown. Good. A rushing touchdown, 16.1. That was at the expense of me getting more out of McCaffrey and Riley Patterson of Detroit, who's kicking most of his games indoors this year, like Carlson, was his kicker. Let me go to the podcast leagues to compliment and see what's going on there. In the League of Champions, it was Chris Martin, longtime podcast listener, who came in first for the week, broke triple digits, and won the week easily, and is also now leading the league overall, ahead of Bill Eisman by 10 points. Let's see what Chris had going in his starting lineup for week two. I think we talked about him maybe a little bit last week. Trevor Lawrence didn't get it done for him, didn't account for a touchdown and had a lost fumble, which is sometimes a problem for Lawrence. But that was his only starter of the 7 not in double digits, including Koo, Falcons kicker Devontae Adams, who had an early touchdown before he left the game with an injury. Garrett Wilson had one big play that got Chris in double digits. He had McCaffrey, had James Cook. Those that predicted James Cook was going to have a big game against Las Vegas were right. That's the biggest game Cook has ever had. He touched the ball 21 times. Granted, game flow worked in his advantage. And Keenan Allen, 2 touchdowns for the Chargers on 8 catches for 111. So well done by Chris. Let me quickly go to the podcast league where I play against the likes of Sean Sullivan, who won week one. Sean is still, through 2 weeks, the league leader by roughly seven over top right tour player Mark Fitzpatrick. Mark Fitzpatrick finished second this week to Bengal Ralph, who bounces back big. He also stacks Burrow and Higgins, so he's worried about Burrow's status just as I am. I kind of think he's going to be all right. I think we'd know early in the week because the Bengals would probably bring in another quarterback. I don't know that they want to go to war potentially going down 0-3 to a Rams team that at least through 2 weeks is better than we thought. Bengal Ralph for week two had Burrow and Higgins stacked with Cortland Sutton, five catches for 66. Then Kenneth Walker got him in more than in double digits with his two touchdown rushing performance for Seattle, 17 carries, 43 yards. Saquon Barkley, though, now out for Bengal Ralph, 17 carries and six receptions. That's just a lot the Giants lose from that offense. The obvious choice going forward is Matt Breida. Matt Breida just cannot do what Saquon Barkley does. Breida's always been a very talented player. I don't know that they can lean on him for as many touches as they got out of Saquon Barkley, and certainly they can't expect the same results. And then Olave, who was very involved in the Monday night game, 6 for 86, didn't get in the end zone, had one long catch, and then McPherson, his kicker for Cincinnati, with modest points. So there's a review from the podcast leagues of who has what that is doing well. We've touched on some of the more significant injuries, obviously. Nick Chubb being done for the year would be next man up. That's the way it always is in Cleveland. Don't expect them to re-sign Kareem Hunt. There's a reason why Kareem Hunt is unemployed. We saw it last year with Kareem Hunt when he got opportunities to play. Kareem Hunt just does not have the physical ability, the speed, the quickness that he had in previous years that allowed him to do some special things. So that's why Hunt, not a Brown, not going to be a Brown, and not on any National Football League roster. Don't understand on Fournette. Fournette's contract demands may be too high, but on Hunt, it's simply that, much like James Robinson, who's kept trying the last couple of years, just injuries finally caught up to him. So let's talk about the best players in my scoring settings from week two. Okay, how do I get there? Huh, that's interesting. Yes, free agent, all players. Let's go to all players and let's go to week two. There we go. I want to talk about, say, the top 10 overall, as long as not too many of them are quarterbacks. If so, we'll drop down and do a few others. The top producing player was Daniel Jones in the big comeback against Arizona. Daniel Jones was overall one, not just QB1, but overall one for week two with 28.6 points in my 21st century standard scoring settings, 321 yards passing, two touchdowns, one pick, nine rushes for 59, and one touchdown. Daniel Jones available in 24% of leagues at the time of this podcast. Brian Robinson was next, the workhorse running back of the Commanders. Robinson touched it 20 times for 129 yards of tandem offense and two touchdowns. Kirk Cousins was overall three with his four touchdowns and a losing effort and his 364 yards against Philadelphia on Thursday night. Raheem Mostert, he just can't stay healthy, but he was healthy for week two. And Bengal Ralph had him on his bench. He won't be on his bench for week three, considering Bengal Ralph, one of those with the Saquon Barkley injury. Mostert, Graham, will go against New England, so that'll be a tougher task than it was in the week two matchup. But Bengal Ralph gets would have gotten, well, Mostert provided 19 touches, 127 yards, and two touchdowns. DeAndre Swift, the huge performance on Thursday night, 28 touched it 31 times for 181 yards and a touchdown. Jalen Hurts was QB3 for the week, doing his thing, two rushing touchdowns, one passing touchdown, pass for 193. Russell Wilson was QB4 for the week. He threw for 308, including the Hail Mary late that pads his numbers, or he wouldn't be on this list. Let's move down to, let me get some wide receivers in here. Keenan Allen was wide receiver one for his aforementioned performance. Mike Evans was wide receiver two for the week, six catches, 171, and a touchdown. Kyron Williams with Cam Akers doing Cam Akers things. Kyron Williams, 20 carries for 100 yards of tandem offense and two touchdowns. And let's see if, that pretty much does it. Josh Allen with a strong bounce back, 274 yards passing and three touchdowns in the Bills win against the Raiders. Let me do 10 that are noteworthy for what they didn't do in week two, and then we'll call it a podcast for now. We've acknowledged the injuries, and we'll do another one later in the week. And again, I answer all your individual questions at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. So 10 not-so-good observations from week two. Thursday night, Alexander Mattison. You can say this was game flow. I just think it's a bad sign that Alexander Mattison may be one of those guys who cannot go from RB2 to RB1 and perform at a high level week to week. 11 touches, 39 yards, and I didn't see him make anybody miss in the Vikings' loss to the Eagles. Damian Pierce, not good again. It's not so much the share that some worried about, it's just lack of production for Pierce. Granted, game flow has worked against him, but he had 17 touches in the week two game. He had 35 yards, no touchdowns. Jaguars are interesting. Through 2 weeks, it's like, okay, what's going on here? I still believe they're a very good team. Most do. Don't seem to be significantly impacted by injuries as some other teams have. Week one, you know, Christian Kirk got knocked down. He was one of the top wide receivers of the week. The only reason we didn't mention him when we talked about the top guys was because he didn't score, because the Jaguars didn't make the most of the red zone opportunities, and his routes run were the lowest among the pass catchers. Week two was different. Christian Kirk went up. Zay Jones bottomed out. A zero for Zay Jones in week two. So, and Calvin Ridley went down to, I believe, two touches. Credit some of the Chiefs' defense for that and the poor execution in the red zone by the Jaguars as they managed only 9 points against the Chiefs. For Adam Rank and the rest of you ignorant Kyle Pitts apologists, I'm going to keep bringing up his numbers because you don't seem to learn your lesson. Kyle Pitts touched the ball two times for 15 yards in a Falcons win. What are you imagining? What universe are you in when it comes to Kyle Pitts? Tight end, mandatory league, outdated, or my type of league with wide receiver tight end flex. Kyle Pitts should be rostered in less than 50% of leagues based on his performance now for, the last 20 games or so of his career. For Las Vegas, no receiver other than Devontae Adams had more than one reception. And that was in a game where the Raiders lost by 28. What does that say? Yeah, sure, Myers was out with an injury from week one, but it just shows the drop-off after Adams is so significant. And it allowed the Bills to bottle up Josh Jacobs for a negative performance. Joshua Kelly, for those who grabbed him on waivers after he had a very nice game and Austin Eckler wasn't able to go week two, sounds early like Austin Eckler may not go week three. I'll tell you who should go for the Chargers. Coach Staley should go and be the first coach fired. Joshua Kelly, 13 touches or 13 carries, 39 yards, no touchdowns for the Chargers. We mentioned Cam Akers doing Cam Akers things. He was a DNP. Those of you who wasted a draft pick on Cam Akers, now, he could be traded. We've been down this road before, but you're putting up with this bullshit because you drafted him. And the Rams are doing well, and Cam Akers is not a part of it. Garrett Wilson, one play on a long, deep crossing route, and then made the safety miss the tackle. Without the prospect of Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson is not likely to return his fantasy value unless the Jets trade for a quarterback. Again, I found it comical that there were these reports on Sunday that Aaron Rodgers had a, you know, a technically advanced surgical procedure that could have him ready for the playoffs. Really? With what team? Who are the Jets trading him to? Because the Jets were supposed to make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. How are they going to make the playoffs without Aaron Rodgers to then have Aaron Rodgers play with them in the playoffs? That was a horribly phrased report. It was stupid. So Garrett Wilson owners, you're going to need more big plays like that. Garrett Wilson is terrific. He really is. But with Zach Wilson, the chances of him producing for you every week are very minimal. Kendrick Bourne, off his 2-touchdown game as the Patriots hung in there with the Eagles week one, went down to 4 for 29 and no touchdowns in the Sunday nighter against the Dolphins. Very tough secondary. And finally, Taysom Hill had more fantasy points as a quarterback player in fantasy than Derek Carr did off the Saints Monday night win, because Carr accounted for no touchdowns and one interception, and Taysom Hill put together some nice rushing yards. Situation to monitor there. Not saying Taysom Hill is going to take over as the starting quarterback, just saying Carr is not a fantasy starter until further notice, because he's not going to run for touchdowns and he's not throwing for them right now. So just out of the week two game, low scoring game against Carolina, Taysom Hill off the bench playing quarterback produced more fantasy points than Carr did. For those of you that thought, well, Carr going to New Orleans and, you know, look what he's going to do there. He's going to be a fantasy relevant quarterback. Week two was an example that that is not true. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Remember, they are celebrating 40 years, and on the 4th of each month, they hold throwback events with 83-cent wings and other great specials. Thanks to Hooters for their continued sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email for your fantasy questions is wright.todd@yahoo.com. We'll talk to you next time.